The Holy Gospel according to the 21st chapter of St. Luke, beginning with the 5th verse. Glory to you, O Lord. When some were speaking about the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God, Jesus said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down." They asked him, "Teacher, when will this be, and what will be the sign that this is about to take place?" And he said, "Beware that you are not led astray, for many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and the time is near. Do not go after them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for these things must take place first, but the end will not follow immediately." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, and in various places famines and plagues. And there will be dreadful portents and great signs from heaven. But before all this occurs, they will arrest you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. This will give you an opportunity to testify. So make up your minds not to prepare your defense in advance, for I will give you words and a wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, by relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I invite you to please be seated. Well, if the projector were working with the computer, there'd be a picture up here on the screen of the Western Wall in Jerusalem. And there would be some people standing there praying, some crying, and they'd be divided up, a section for men and a section for women. And if you could see that picture that I took while I was there, you would see that some of the blocks of the Western Wall are quite large. They're so large, in fact, that each one weighs over 100 tons. Each block. And if you could see that picture, you would know that there are 24 rows of stones that are above the ground, and you would learn that there are 19 rows that are below the surface. That's one wall of the temple that Jesus talks about here that got destroyed. One wall that's been there for a very long time. During the first temple period, and we're talking about the second one in our gospel, with the first temple period, that was between 1200 and 586 B.C., so we're going back into some history. It was built in 100 B.C. by King Solomon after King David conquered Jerusalem and made it his capital. And that temple was destroyed in 586 by Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, when he conquered Jerusalem. Some years later, we have the second temple period, which starts in 586 B.C. and goes to A.D. 70. And Jesus is making the prediction of the destruction of this temple, the second temple, the one with these big blocks, 40 years before it happens. This temple is beautiful. Gold all over the place. And it's enormous. Like I said, the blocks are over 100 tons each. Can you imagine? And it's said that it used to go some 75 rows above what we see currently. Huge, huge temple. Now you would think, if you're hearing Jesus say these things, it's going to take an awful lot to destroy this temple. These blocks that are so large and so heavy. Indeed, they come to about here from the floor. They're big. How can this temple be destroyed? And it's their place of worship. What must they have heard? When Jesus is talking about this, That doesn't sound good. I mean, frankly, it's nice to hear the Jesus that talks about the comforting things, but things in here are kind of scary. People are talking about how beautiful the temple is, how it's adorned with the beautiful stones and the gifts that are dedicated to God. It must have been an amazing place to worship. And Jesus says, the days will come when not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down. They wanted to know, when is it going to be? And he says, beware you're not led astray. For many will come in my name and say, I am he, and the time is near. Don't go after them. They're going to hear of wars and insurrections. Do not be terrified. If Jesus is telling me not to be terrified, I want to believe that I wouldn't be. But frankly, wars and insurrections are pretty scary. They're loud. Horrible things happen in a war when people fight. Do not be terrified. It's supposed to take place, really? Then he says, nation's going to rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There's going to be great earthquakes and in various places famines and plagues, dreadful portents and great signs from heaven. Wow. So not only is warring going to be happening, nations against nations, people are going to be hungry. There's going to be earthquakes. That's a lot to be terrified about, Jesus, and you're telling us not to be. And we're standing around this beautiful temple. What's it going to take to tear it down? It must be pretty bad. Don't be terrified. Then it gets better. Not really. Jesus says that you're going to be arrested and persecuted. You're going to be handed over to the synagogues and the prisons to be judged and not treated well. You'll be brought before kings and governors because of my name. Because of Jesus' name, all of this is going to happen. I wonder what it felt like for Jesus to know that. To know that this temple is going to be destroyed and all of these things are going to happen. And then he says, well, you'll get an opportunity to testify, but don't plan ahead what you're going to say. Really? If anybody knows you're going to have a confrontation with somebody, don't you try to plan what you want to say? But he's like, nope, don't do that. Because you're going to get words and a wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict. Jesus is going to give you the words to say. And if all of this isn't tough enough to understand, you're going to be betrayed by your parents and your brothers, by your relatives and your friends, and some of you are going to be put to death. Can you imagine trying to introduce somebody to Jesus and tell them all these things are going to happen? It's great to follow Jesus. Really, it is. But if you got to give them this message, earthquakes, people not liking you, treating you bad, well, oh, I don't know. And then he says, you will be hated by all because of my name, because of your faith. But there is good news. The good news, he says, is not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls. And that's the key. The promise of eternal life. The promise of God's grace and forgiveness and unconditional love. This is groundbreaking stuff here, folks. Earth-shattering news. Hard to hear, but good news comes in the end because not a hair of our head will perish because we are God's children. By your endurance, you will gain your souls. Jesus predicted correctly. Approximately 40 years after he makes this prediction, the temple falls. It's torn down. During the Roman period in AD 70, the second temple was destroyed along with Jerusalem by Titus's army. When everything was destroyed, their place of worship, gone. The town in a shambles. Look around in our sanctuary. This is our place of worship. How do you feel about it? Do you like coming here? Okay, somebody can answer. Yes, you like coming here, right? Why do you like to come here? Comfortable? Yep, exactly. How about the people? It's nice to see all the people share a faith. The windows are beautiful. The music's awesome. We get to hear God's word. We get to celebrate the sacraments. Would you like to hear that your church is going to be destroyed? No. Good answer. It's been here for 147 years and 3 months, as Gary corrected me last night. He's counting because we got the anniversary coming up here in a few years. Think about all the people that have worshipped here over that time, including yourselves. In 147 years. It's a lot of prayer, that's a lot of scripture, that's a lot of songs, that's a lot of sermons. It's a lot of fellowship, time in community. The building blocks of faith were started then here in this place. Because of folks who had a vision to build a church and have a place of worship. Where we're empowered and equipped to go out into the world and do something for God's kingdom. Not because we're doing it for the points in heaven, but because Christ inspires us to be our best selves, to do best for others, to help out where needed. The thing is, it took a lot of faith for people to build the church. It's taken a lot of faith over all the years for the saints to keep going. And we do it because God inspires us to do that. Because of their faith, we learned too. Because of other people's faith and God inspiring that faith, our faith is built up. And that's stronger than a 100-ton brick. When I was in Jerusalem, one of the things that touched me the most were the people that would go up to this wall, the Western Wall, and on little pieces of paper they had their prayers written. And they would take these little pieces of paper and they would walk up to the wall and they would touch it and they would pray and they would take that little piece of paper and put it in the crack between the bricks. And I really wanted to take a picture up close, but I didn't think that that was proper. But I remember when I took my own little piece of paper in, seeing all the different people, and you could see there how many pieces of paper had been jammed in these little spaces by thousands of people for so long. It was amazing. And the Jews, now they're upset because the temple was destroyed and their place of worship has not yet been restored to them. But their faith keeps them going. And hopefully we will not see our church crumble as they've had to endure. Or the remains of what's crumbled from the war way back then. But how do we build our faith? How do we hold on to those things in times when we're a little bit nervous or scared or people are persecuting us? Have you ever been persecuted by your faith or for your faith? You ever been afraid to talk to somebody about your faith? Oh, it might make them mad. Once, I decided to rebel. Imagine that, right? Me rebelling. was in high school. And you know how you have that separation of church and state? I decided I was going to pray for my lunch. And the lunch lady was standing right there. Ha ha. She's not going to stop me from saying my prayer for my lunch, and she didn't. And I felt like I got away with something. But seriously, have you ever not wanted to talk about your faith for fear that somebody's going to get offended or be angry? I have. And I'm a pastor. When I was training on my internship site, I had someone who approached me when they saw me wearing my collar. They approached me and just lambasted me. I mean, he was not nice. And apparently to me, it seemed as if somebody in the church had hurt him somehow. And anybody who represented the church was bad news. And I was frankly kind of afraid, and luckily my husband was there, and the person was just kind of more verbal than anything. And I realized, after he was done yelling at me, I was in a public place, after he was done yelling at me, I realized I had had my collar on. I forgot to take it off after church. We were going out for lunch. So he saw that as a target, that collar. I'm going to go after the church. Blah. Now, I could have stood there and told him all the good things about being a follower of Jesus, but he wouldn't have been able to hear it, I don't think, at all. He just wanted to be mad at somebody and let his voice be known. So I did. And as he walked away, I prayed for him, but I didn't tell him I was going to do it. Because I felt bad. Not because I had been yelled at, but because he felt the need to do that, and whatever had caused him to do it, he was hurting pretty bad. Kept my collar on all day that day. It can be scary to talk about our faith, but the thing is, we got to try. And Jesus knows that it's going to happen, that people are going to be angry. He's talking about it here in the scripture today. But he gives us the promise, the good news. Not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls. By following me, Jesus, he says, it's good. It has to happen. Yeah, you might be hated by all because of my name, but I've got you because you're my child. And I love you. I love you always. Into eternity, you are mine. And you're gaining your soul because of me. To me, that weighs a whole lot more than 100 tons of block. It's bigger than any building could ever be, stronger than any temple could ever be built, because we build our faith in Jesus Christ. Amen.